I am going through the book of Romans. I have been for several times now. This is actually the 12th lesson in the book of Romans. And so today's sermon will actually come from Romans chapter 13. So if you would turn to Romans chapter 13, that's where today we will look at God's Word. Now the theme we have, I have set as Romans 15:7, where Paul is going to ask the Christians in Rome to accept each other as Christ has accepted them. And there's a reason for it. There were two groups of people. One is the Jewish Christian, and the other one is the Gentile Christians. And there was a little tension politically where Claudius, an emperor, did not want to solve a problem that the Jews in town had. There was some kind of a fight in the town among the Jewish people over a man named Crestus. And we don't know if it's another name for Christ or it's just a different person altogether. And Emperor Claudius, instead of solving the problem, asked all the Jews to leave Rome. And when he made the decree, not only Jews left, but also Jewish Christians left. So a church that had both Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians are all of a sudden without Jewish Christians, just Gentile Christians. But the thing changed, the situation changed 8 years later when Nero came. And when Nero came, he brought Jews back into town. And so when the Jews came back into town, Jewish Christians came back into town. And then there was tension. Now, I think of the illustration before, what if all the Americans in our congregations leave, and the leadership is Pastor Rick that I lead, and then all of a sudden, Pastor Rick and all the Americans come back, there's going to be some kind of adjustments. And the church in Rome is going through the adjustment, and Paul is going to tell them, accept each other as Christ has accepted you. And we'll get to that in chapter 14 and 15. But for that, so far, he has been taking us through some major teachings, which I summarize like this. While we were sinners, God demonstrated his love for us by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Now that's the first part of the gospel, that in Jesus Christ, a heavenly king is born, a king that will lay down his life for his people. And then the second part is anyone who believes in him will have salvation. Now, the first part also has that Jesus not only died for our sins, but then God also raised him up from to life, which is an important part of the gospel. And then anyone who believes in him will have salvation. But the very last part of Romans, which is from 12 on, is a practical section in light of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. How do we live? So those who have salvation, and you know, a familiar verse, 12:1, that says, therefore, be transformed in your life, and then he continues on to say a lot of stuff. The first part that we looked at is to love one another, and that's where we finished with chapter 12. Now, when Paul says to the Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians in Rome, love one another and accept Christ as you have, accept one another as Christ has accepted you, he's going to raise up a very important question. Well, how about Nero? Should we then obey Nero? Nero is not our favorite kind of emperor, I mean, for the even then. Now, his uncle, great uncle, was Claudius, Emperor Claudius, who had expelled all the Jews, and now the Jews have come back. And there's going to be always a tension in their part. Should we obey Nero? Nero, just like his uncle, is not the best of emperors. Now, I'll say a little bit about him. He not only drank plenty, was ruthless in his ruling, but also had a lot of crazy habits. One time he decided he needed to marry a horse. And so he married a horse. Then he decided the horse needed to be in the Senate. So in the Senate in Rome, you have all the senators and Mrs. Nero, the horse. Yeah, I wonder if it's one for yes and two for two. I don't know how the horse voted. But yet you have that. And then he decided he's a woman for a while. So he married Sophora, saved, who was a guy, and he dressed up like a lady and married him. And then he got tired of it, and then he married another slave, Glaphoria, as a demon. He just had a lot of crazy life and was bloodthirsty. Every year, pretty much, he decided he wanted to go and conquer somebody. So he would go to the Gauls and beat some of the Gauls and kill a few Gauls. He's just not the best of the rulers you could think of. Not even was Claudius, but at least towards the end of his life, Claudius isolated himself in an island. So the question that's going to come into people's mind is, well, true, we can love each other, but how about our government? How about Nero? Should we obey him? Should we trust him? So this whole section, Paul is going to answer that question. But before that, I hope I'm not offending anyone. I'm going to show you some of the crazy laws that are out there. I couldn't find this one. One time, long time ago, Lori read a law in Mississippi, I think, Mississippi or Alabama. It's illegal to have ice cream in your pocket. I don't know why the law came about. Maybe somebody went around with ice cream in their pocket. I can't imagine a law like that. But there are some crazy laws. It's illegal to change a light bulb unless you're a licensed electrician. Now that could be trouble for many of them. That's in Australia. Hundreds of them. They're funny to read, but hopefully I'm not offending anyone. In Bangladesh, children 15 years and older can be sent to jail for cheating on their final exams. Now, sometimes we, even in theological school, have a problem. I wish I could send some of my students to jail for cheating on final exams. Yeah. In Canada, any comic books that portray illegal activity is up to its ban, which is kind of frightening because I think comic books talk about illegal activity, whether it is stealing or drugging or whatever. In France, it's illegal to name pigs Napoleon. So if you have a favorite pig and you have named Napoleon, don't go to France. You'll be in trouble. In Italy, dog owners must take their dogs on a walk at least 3 times a day. We are in trouble. Yeah. And so the Johnsons are with us. They're like our family. They are our family. And they have a cute little dog that I'm in love with, Maggie. She only gets twice. So we break the rule in Italy. Yeah. And in Samoa, it's illegal to forget one's wife's birthday. Amen. Yeah, I'll be in trouble for that one too. So you can see how there are funny laws. Now, I didn't put bad ones, but we know every law, every country has interesting laws. So the question is, should we obey the government? And so this section becomes pretty crucial. Nero was the great nephew of Emperor Claudius, who expelled the Jews from Rome. When Claudius died and Nero became emperor, the question is, the Christians want to know, especially the Jewish Christians, should we obey Nero? A very reasonable question, especially when you have a ruler that's not your favorite. When it's a favorite ruler, when that's someone that you like, you say, okay, I can obey this fellow or this lady. But if you have a bad one like Nero, should we obey Nero? Interestingly, Paul is going to say yes, and he's going to give 4 reasons. The 4 reasons, I think, are amazing, and so let's take a look at each one of them. First one is, obey Nero because he is God's servant. Now that is mind-boggling because we don't think of rulers like Nero or any ruler. Every country that we are from, we represent many different countries here. Think of your present politician, present ruler, prime minister or president or king or queen. Would you think of that person as God's servant? Now we have all read the Old Testament. I'll show you some passages later on. God sees, well, I mentioned it now, sees Cyrus, the Persian, who wasn't word Messiah for Cyrus. The same way with Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian king. He says, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant, my Messiah. Now, we don't think of those terms. We think of only good rulers as God's servant. Christian leaders, we call them, they are God's servants. But you can see that the next few verses that we're going to read in a moment, that God all says we must obey Nero or any government or any authorities over you because they are God's servants. So the first verse says this: every person must submit to governing authorities, since there is no authority except authority that is under God. They exist being appointed by God. Like you, I am troubled by this verse. Yeah, but I remember vividly a story in my life. I was in seminary in 89 or 90, and there was an election in the United States for president. And one was Clinton, President Clinton, and the other one was George Bush Sr. And our school, majority of the faculty are Republicans, and they were praying regularly that God will let George Bush win a second term and not have Clinton come to presidency. And the night before the election, I'm sure they all prayed a lot, and I'm an Indian, so I was not that much into, I am still not an Indian, so not that much into politics, and I was curious. People were praying, and then the next day, election, of course, had happened, and President Clinton had been elected. And my very first class was a student survey class, and Dr. Constable was my teacher. I was thinking in my heart, what is he going to say today about President Clinton? And he read this passage from Romans 13, and he said, till yesterday, we were all praying that President Clinton would not be elected, but today he is elected, we must submit to him. I was as shocked as it could be, because the thing you would always say, well, since President Clinton is elected, we do not need to submit to him. But he read this passage and said, every person must submit to the governing authorities, since there is no authority under except authority under God. They exist being appointed by God. Pharaoh, appointed by God. Nero, appointed by God. Claudius, appointed by God. Xerxes, appointed by God. Cyrus, appointed by God. Nebuchadnezzar, appointed by God. I'm not going to mention all the ones that are here now. Yeah? You fill in the blank. Whoever your country ruler is, he or she is appointed by no authority exists except by God's rule. It shows the sovereignty of God, the rulership of God, how the Lord is not out of control. He knows who our president is. Modi is the president of my country. Yeah? So many Christians were upset when he came into power, and they still are upset. Yeah, and I myself don't know where the country is going to go. Yeah, but I do know he is in power, and God is, not by God being surprised. God knew he would be in power. God kind of appointed him in power, and ultimately, God would bring good for his own name through his appointment. Yeah, which brings me to the next point, that is, we must submit to them. Because they are God's messenger. Matter of fact, Paul goes on to say, anyone who resists authority opposes the ordinance of God. Right? So when I oppose Modi and say I don't want Modi to be my prime minister, I'm not really opposing Modi. I am opposing God, who appointed him as the Prime Minister of India. Now, I'm not trying to promote the rule of Modi. Don't misunderstand. We'll come to that and realize why Paul is saying these things. In other words, we acknowledge the sovereignty of God behind human Nero in mind. He is not the best of rulers. Yeah? If you have King David, you can say, oh yeah, God appointed King David. Or if you have Josiah, King Josiah, you can say, oh yeah, God appointed him. Yeah? Or even King James of 1611 Bible, you can say, yeah, he was a godly man. God appointed him. But this is Nero we are talking about. Yeah? Because God is still sovereign. He's the Lord over the whole world and all government, and in every government is under his power. Anyone who resists actually opposes the ordinances of God. And those who resist will receive judgment against themselves. Yeah, we live in a time there's a lot of protests going on around the world. You not only are opposing God appointed leaders. Now, I'm not saying you cannot vote in a way that you choose the right person. I think the responsibility of every citizen is to vote responsibly. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But once the election has happened, and once the person is appointed, we have to obey. And those who resist will receive judgment upon themselves. And the reason is this. The rulers are not a terror for those who do good, but those who do bad. If you do not wish to fear the authorities, then do good, and then you will have praise from the authorities. Now, when we lived in Dallas, and Lori's family was in Memphis, that's an 8-hour drive that we go back and forth. And as soon as we get on the highway, I set the cruise control at one time it used to be 55 and then it became 70. Okay? Whatever it becomes 70, I'll put it off. Yeah. Believe me, I have passed so many police, and I've often thought any of them gonna pull me over and say, congratulations, Mr. Spurgeon, you'll be keeping the speed limit. Not a single policeman pulled me over and congratulated me. Yeah. Now, on the other hand, you know what happens if you break the speed limit, right? As soon as you break the speed limit, you see a siren behind you, and they pull you over, and then they say, well, give you your driver's license and ID and give you a fine or whatever that's required. Rulers are a terror only to those who do good. Lori and I got caught last time we went to the U.S. Not a terror to those who do good, or again, you still like I said, we took some dry pork from Singapore to our boats. Yeah? And so we're going through immigration, and they said, do you have any dry food? And Lori says, yes. And they say, what do you have? And she says, we have some dried beef. And the lady said, that's fine. We have some dried chicken. And Lori did. And the immigration office, the customs office, and then I said, and there's a dry pork. He said, uh-oh, you can't bring dry pork into the United States. So our luggage is in the bottom of the plane, and that's where it is. Fortunately, we already knew exactly where it was. And we had like a limited an hour break in between two flights, and they ordered them for the luggage to be taken out of the plane, brought to us, Lori to remove that dry port before the flight would continue, our luggage would be taken in. Yeah, talk about the tension, we were all stressed, but we didn't make it on time to the flight. The rulers are not a terror to those who do good. They don't pull you over and say, Mr. Spurgeon, you are keeping speed limit, congratulations. Yeah, they pull you over and you break. They're a terror to those who do that. If you do not wish to fear the authorities, then do good, and you will have praise from the authorities. Now, having said that, not many authorities praise you, but I guess some in a way, the fact that they don't pull you over is a praise. They don't consider you as a criminal. They don't pull you over as a lawbreaker, and that itself is a praise. So when you go to the immigration customs security, and you're not pulled over, pat yourself and say, I got a praise from that guy. Yeah. They won't say it to you, but you are just not pulled over. They are God's servants that you obey, and the reason they are God's servants is because God had appointed them to exercise his rulership on this world to do right or wrong. That's what he goes on to say, now you're God's servant to make sure that you do good. And he has a sword with him to assure that you do good. And if you do good, if you only do bad, you have to fear his sword. But he doesn't care it for me. The servant of God is the avenger of wrath to the one who does evil. Okay? Now, I agree, most of the rulers are not this good. I mean, they sometimes punish good people who do good. Yeah, they're going to punish bad people and they're going to punish good people. But in general, in God's perspective, in God's perspective, the servant of God is the evidence. The servant of God, referring to Nero, is the avenger of God's wrath, the one who does evil. In other words, is appointed by God to make sure that people remain good. And when they do wrong, they will be punished. That's what makes a person like Nero a messenger of God, a servant of God, because he is bringing God's punishment, God's congratulations or God's wrath on the people. He is a servant of God, what makes him a God's servant. He makes God do anything. So the basic motivation is that you need to do what is right, and then you don't have to fear Nero at all. But when you do wrong, God uses Nero to punish you, and that makes Nero a servant of God. Therefore, you must submit not only because of the wrath, because Nero can punish you, but also because of the conscience. You want to obey God, yeah? And you want to not be a good, bad person. You want to do good. You want to follow the rules. And then when you follow the rules, you have nothing to fear at all. I walk every morning on Siglap Parkway all the way to the East Coast and then back. And there is an overpass over East that has a sign on the side that says, please get down from the bicycle, push the bicycle up, no riding bicycle, $1,000 fine. Yeah? And every morning when I walk there, there's many people that come close to it and get down, and then they push the bicycle up, and then they go on. But lately, it's been pretty common to find either people riding up to show their strength or coming down because it's fun to come down the steep hill. Or I don't know why they are doing it. And I want to say, should I take some pictures of you guys and post them? You know, those are the fun of it. Or at least in the church, just to show, hey, what is law? There's a tendency to break. But think of it this way. If you were riding a bicycle and you come up there and you get down from the bicycle and push the bicycle, do you have anything to fear? Absolutely not. You are doing what the law requires, and then you can honestly push the bicycle up, go on with your way. But on the other hand, though, if you are riding your bicycle, you're looking left and right to make sure there is no police. I don't know if it's good for the people who have the tickets for that or not, but it is a sign there. And I have seen in the buses people bending down and taking a sip of water or whatever that they are drinking. Because again, it's a sign that says no eating and drinking in the train or the bus. But I did see children eating with that hike. Maybe they can get away with it. It's the bottom line is, you obey the government, including Nero, because they are God's messenger, and to rebel against them would be rebelling against God and what God had established. And by obeying the rulers, you are actually doing good, and also by doing good, you have nothing to fear the rulers over you. Only when you do bad, then you have something to fear, and they are God's messenger. They prevent inflict pain on you, because that's their God-appointed job. Okay, that's the first reason. The second reason, though, is obey because you shouldn't owe anything to anyone. Paul goes on to say, for this reason, you also must pay taxes. Tax collectors are ministers of God, devoting themselves to this task. I like that. Even more, tax collectors are very committed to their job. Yeah, they want to make sure you get your taxes. Yeah, in America, one person told me there's a phrase that are two things are certain: death and taxes. Yeah. Tax collectors, unlike other workers, are very committed to their job. Yeah, because they want their revenues. And you must pay taxes. And as horrible as it sounds, that is part of the law. And he goes on to say, give everyone what is owed. To the tax collectors, taxes. To the toll persons, tolls. And to the one who needs to be feared, fear. And the one that needs to be honored, honor. Owe no one anything. Okay? I was in Philippines a week ago, and I had just gotten out from the plane, and I go into the immigration section. It was backed up, like maybe 1,000 to 2,000 people. Now, I immediately took my camera phone and took a picture for Lori. I'm not an activist that puts it on newspaper or anything like that. I took a camera, took a picture just for Lori to see, and I sent it to Lori, and immediately there was an immigration officer next to me. He said, give me your phone. I said, okay. He said, I'm going to delete that picture. There is no picture taken in the immigration. So he took my phone and deleted the picture. Yeah. I could have started a fight. Now, I did tell him I already sent it to my wife. Yeah. So Lori already got it, but he didn't even remind me of the phone. Camera, I don't have a camera phone, I still don't have it. Not only do we respect Nero, but also everyone, whatever that is owed, an immigration officer, he invites you over and says, I want to ask a question about immigration. Answer that. A toll person says, you got to pay a toll. Pay the toll. A tax collector says you had to pay tax. Pay the tax. A person that needs to be given respect to, some translations, as I said, fear, say respect. Give them respect. Oh, no one innocent. Yeah? It has nothing to do with the other person. It has everything to do with me. When we lived in India, the taxi guys really tried to cheat us. Now, this is slightly different. They're not government workers. They're not people in authority. But they will, if a ride is $2, they would say $5. And this was my practice. I would say to them, I know it's only $2, but I'm going to give you the $5 you asked, because tonight when I lie down, I want to lie down with a clear conscience. But you won't lie down with a clear conscience because you cheated me, and I give you the $5. Out of about hundreds of people I've done that, only one guy came back and said, I want a clear conscience, so here's your $3 back. Yeah? That's what Paul is saying. Oh, no one anything. Nobody should say, this person walked through my line. She or he was so disrespectful to me. They wear the badges. They have the authority. They ask you to step aside. You step aside. Now, this is very different than contemporary living. We know people are all over the world. Rebellion is authority. Modern world doesn't like authority. Believe me, I myself don't like authority. Maybe when it comes to, especially when they want me to do things that I think are wrong. Yeah, yesterday it happened. I was standing in line at the grocery store, and this doesn't usually happen in Singapore. And it was really backed up, about maybe 10 of us in front. This grocery lady, the store lady, brought two of her friends and put them in front of all of us. And you can imagine all of you, others were murmuring, and so was I. And I thought, I'm going to preach on this tomorrow, better not murmur. Yeah. We can't owe anything to anyone. Right? If they deserve our respect, we give them the respect. If they deserve our fear, we give them the fear. If they deserve our honor, we give them. them the honor, yeah? And if we owe them taxes, we give them taxes. If we owe them toll, we pay them toll. We owe nothing to anyone. And that's the second. The first reason is because God appointed it. The second reason is that we can't owe anything to anyone. Then Paul goes on to say the third one. Obeying Europe because it is a law of action which fulfills the law of God. Now, as I wrote that, I wanted to delete it, repeat it, yeah? Because it just doesn't sound normal to say obeying Europe is a law of action. Yeah? But that's exactly what Paul says. Remember the statement he just finished saying, owe no one anything? He goes on to say, owe no one anything except to love one another, because the law, the one who loves fulfills every other law. Okay? Although we aren't to owe anyone anything, if you owe them honor, we give them honor. If you owe them respect, we give them respect. If you owe them taxes, we pay taxes. We shouldn't owe anything to anyone. By the way, many translations make it sound like don't be in debt. Okay, that's not what the passage is saying. The whole context is about obeying the government. It's saying owe nothing to anyone, but there is an obligation on all of us that all the time to love each other. Yeah? We're always in debt to love the other person. Think of that, what an implication that it would be. When you're standing in grocery line, you think that grocery lady behind that counter, I am in debt to her to give her the respect. Yeah? When you get into the taxi and the guy is going to say, where are you going? Even if he is grumpy to you, tell yourself, I am in debt to love this person. Yeah? Even when he is mean, I can't be mean. I am in debt to this person. Matter of fact, Paul goes on to say, whatever the law you do think of, don't commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, every other commandment is wrapped up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah? Because we all like others to give us respect. We all like others to honor us. We all like others not to get angry at us. We all like others to think we are really special people. Yeah? The same we owe them. Right? We can't think we are greater than them. If you want to be loved by other people, if you want to be respected by other people, it starts by us respecting that other person, because that's it's reciprocal. It's when you want, when you love your neighbor as yourself, they in turn around and love us. I told our, we have a little tiny grocery store in our neighborhood. When I first went here our solo go, I would just look at them and say, hello, how are you? Doesn't cost me anything to say that, yeah? The first couple of times, they were really shaken up. They looked at me and they're like, what is he saying? Yeah. But it's interesting, a year later now, they anticipate that. Yeah. If I am in a hurry and I don't say, hi, how are you? They're looking at me like, did you forget us? Yeah. It had become, and now it's not common. I don't think other people do this. But so they're used to that. They're longing for that. I told them, our friends here, when they have something on sale that I like, they even take them and hide them and see me in the pathway and say, we have hidden some of those for you, it's on sale. I won't tell you, because in case you're not, if you are Baptist, and I'll be in trouble. Yeah. Why? All because you give them love. Yeah, all the laws we can think of, do not commit murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not covet, all of them are wrapped up in the concept of love. That love for one's neighbor does not do harm on people in this way. Love is the fulfillment of of the law.
Yeah.
This is in the context of the government that he is talking about. Yeah. You can't owe the government anything, owe no one anything, but at the same time, you owe them everything called law. Yeah. So when the immigration officer yells at you, you should say to yourself, I owe the law. Yeah. He doesn't owe me anything. She doesn't owe me anything. But as a Christian, I owe them love. Yeah. It is interesting how many times in my life where when we politely, honestly told them the situation, God worked miracles. Yeah, when we first went to India as missionaries 21 years ago, this is an old story that I often repeat. We were bringing all of our belongings plus another friend's belongings to India. So we had like 5 computers, monitors, and all of them. And we go to get our stuff out of the immigration office. And all of our friends said, this would be $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 worth of stuff. And this immigration officer has a table full of Hindu gods, so we know it's going to be a tough negotiation. And he looks at us and says, and we smile. We were sitting waiting outside, and he comes and says, why are you here? And we said, we're waiting for our stuff. And he says, well, come into my office. And then he looks at us and says, God tells me I should help you. And Lord looks at him and says, then obey God. And he says, okay, I will. And then he is in the meantime writing on pieces of paper for all the other people who are bringing their stuff, $5,000, $10,000. And Lori and I are like, oh my God, we're going to be in bad trouble. And he looks at us and says, how about $100? That's like $200. And Lori starts crying out of happiness, yeah, because she tries to have $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. And he says, man, don't cry, I'll make you 100. Yeah. And all because we just said, we're going to let this in God's hand. We're going to just be honest and also godly. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm the greatest. There have been times I have lost my cool. There have been times. One time, on my way to Memphis again, I was 70. As usual, I had it on my cruise control and I'm driving and the policeman pulls over. I'm only guessing this and I could be really wrong. He may have profiled me, but that could be a little bit like Mexicans. Yeah? And Mexicans on that highway take drugs back and forth. He pulls me over and says, you're 1 mile over speed limit. Now, anyone that's from America, no, you don't get pulled over for 1 mile over speed limit. I said, yes, sir. And I said, why did you pull me over for 1 mile over speed limit? Now, I've regretted that ever since then. I should have just said, you know, I should have been a little bit polite. I was a bit upset. And then he looks over and I have my Bible and kids' videos on my back seat. And he says, oh, you have children? And I said, yeah. And he said, you have more videos in your trunk? I know what he's asking. I said, no, I only have my suitcase. And I opened my trunk and he only sees my suitcase and he lets me go, right? Now I know all that he is doing is wrong, and I should have. I was really tempted not to stop and really tempted to say a lot more, even to say, you are racially profiling me. I'm keeping this speed limit. Nobody gets pulled over for 1 mile over speed limit. But I, even back then, I stood up the constable, I remember this rule that you owe respect. You owe law, and God is the way that you fulfill the law. The fourth reason is obey Nero, because we are children of light, walking in light, and clothed in Christ. We are different people, not like the rest of the people that fight against the ruling government. You obey, he says, knowing the time. The hour for you to wake up from your sleep is already here. Now our salvation is nearer than we believe. He's talking about how we're at the end of our salvation, end of the time, and right before Christ comes back. And in this time, we can't act like sleepy people. begin to act like alive people, people of light, children, ready to receive a great salvation, and we can't live like the previous life that we had. Jesus said, night has gone, and the day is here, so put off the works of the dark, and clothe in the light of the armor of life. Christians need to look different. Yeah, you have two rows of line, two lines, and they are full of people. A person, an officer that comes to you, he should see something different. Yeah, a friend of one of our pastors, he really did this, and we saw this in his life repeatedly. He was standing in line, and the flight got delayed. Or got canceled, I can't remember what it was. And everyone in front of him walked up to that lady behind, the ticketing lady behind the counter, and yelled at them pretty much saying, well, I have a connecting flight, I have a job, what are you doing to me? As if that lady had anything to do with it. She's the messenger. Yeah, she doesn't fly, she doesn't change the weather, she doesn't change the route, she's just passing on the message. Then when the Christian got up there, our pastor, people could say, how was your day? And you can imagine the shock that she goes through, that she starts saying, it's not a good day. Yeah? We Christians who are clothed in light, clothed with the armor of light, we must be different in the line of people that are standing there. When everyone is opposing the government, we act differently. We show respect, we show honor, we obey, and that's what sets us differently. We are not people of light. Matter of fact, he says, isn't it a day, a night has gone, the day is here. The man that, hasn't it a day we walk properly, not cursing or drunk, not immorally or sensually, not quarreling or in jealousy. We instead walk, as what people are going to say, clothe on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not provide provision for flesh to its desires. There has to be something different about the Christians and how they behave. You get into the text, you say, hi, how was your day? Yeah? Now, some of them would, we had one experience, one Chinese New Year, Lori and I did, and last year I think we got into a taxi and we said to the fellow, how are you? How's your day? And he got all upset. He said, not a good day. So we asked him, why is it not a good day? He said, it's not all my kids are coming to see me. Yeah, and they come to this present Singapore Chinese culture. If your kids don't come and see you on Chinese New Year, it's a horrible day. So before we got down, we said, would you like to come to our house? He said, no, thank you. Thank you for your go on. We need to look different. Be polite, be kind, be generous, be loving. And that's what Paul is saying. Not that we have clothed the Lord. Should Christians in Rome obey Nero? Answer is yes, because Nero is God's servant. Believers shouldn't owe anything to anyone. Obedience to the rulers is a love action which fulfills the law of God. Believers are children of light who walk in light and are clothed in Christ. That brings us to our application. Now, first of all, governments are now, that's in the context of Romans, but now our servants. We have to realize government servants are God's servants and ministers. Now, to me, I think this makes a big difference because when we have a ruler that we like, we think of them as God's servant. We want to obey them, we like them, we are happy for them, and we brag about them. But everyone, because of God's sovereignty, God's rulership, is a servant of God, the previous God. Nebuchadnezzar, for example, Cyrus, and they're all called as servants and even Messiah. The next one is, since they are God's servants, we submit. submit and obey, since it's the law of action, the fulfillment of the law that we, as children of God, who are both in Christ, ought to do. Our job is to obey and to submit to them. That's our characteristic. We are the children of light. We are the people who are clothed in Christ. What if the leaders are evil? Now, you ask the question, how evil was Nero? Now, it has nothing to do with whether the ruler is evil or good. It has everything to do with what God demands of us. Yeah, and nothing to do. I mean, Nero is the typical model of a sinful person. Remember, I already told you he was married to a horse and was a wife for a while, was a husband for a while, murdered people. He was not a typical one, and he was definitely not kind to Christians, as we know. Later on, when the fire broke out in Rome, he blamed Christians and killed them. Set them up on fire, on poles, and put oil on them, set them on fire, and planted them in his garden as lights. Said, well, you Christians claim to be children of light, light my garden. That's the guy we're talking about. So it has nothing to do with the rulers. What if they were anti-Christians? Yeah, anti what we do. And again, Nero is a great example. He himself was anti-Christian, as I said, he persecuted them. What if they demand that we disobey God? Now, this is a tricky one. We do have a statement here that's a little complicated. If they ask us to disobey God, then we do obey God, knowing we're going to face punishment. Okay. And the examples are here, three sets of people. That exact words, we must obey God, then people, come from Peter. Right? When they say, well, you can't evangelize. And Peter says, well, I'm sorry, chief priest. This is one point I must disagree with you. Yeah? Because God had asked us to evangelize, and you're going to tell me not to evangelize. I'm going to disobey you and obey God. So when the rulers disobey God, then we side with God. Okay? The second group are the midwives in Exodus. This is along the story of Moses. Yeah? Pharaoh said, kill all the kids under the age of two, all the male boys under the age of two. And the midwives said, no, you're not going to obey. Yeah? Because they wanted to preserve life more than they wanted to obey Pharaoh. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were friends who were told by Nebuchadnezzar to fall down and worship their God. And they said, no, we can't do that. Now, each one of them faced persecution. Yeah? Especially Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in fire. And also, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Yeah? Now, they were rescued. But Peter would say, even if you're not rescued, you obey God in certain circumstances. So, in all places, we do obey. We obey authority, except when they demand that we disobey God. And that's the basic one. In all the many few governments of the modern day, tell us to disobey God. And when they do tell us to disobey God, we obey God. But in all other times, we obey God. But you see, there's one more important verse I want to read to you. This is outside of Romans. Even when we disobey rulers because they are so evil, they don't want us to follow God, we have to pray for them, for their salvation. It says, our Paul says this to Timothy, I urge them, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to know the knowledge of the truth. Yeah? What this passage is saying is, which is an Anglican-based church, and we had a prayer pretty much every Sunday. When you get to that point, the preacher will put place in the name of the prime minister. So he would say, "Now pray for our rulers, prime minister," and then he would substitute the name of the prime minister, Modi, and then we would pray for him. And then he would say, "And we pray for our chief minister," and substitute the name of the, place in the name of the chief minister, and we would pray for them. We really don't, in modern churches, pray for our religious leaders, but they are for our political leaders. But that is a clear testimony, which even Paul said to Timothy, saying, God wishes even Modi to be saved. God wishes even the Prime Minister of Singapore to be saved. God wishes even the President of America to be saved, or any country, Samoa, France, Italy, yeah, all these countries we looked at. God wishes. Imagine you go to heaven and I say, all of the presidents that are saved. Yeah, that's a blessing to see. Yeah? So if you have a good president, our prime minister, whoever your country ruler is, thank God for them. But if you have a bad one, pray for his or her salvation. Yeah? Regardless, as we saw in today's lesson, always to give them honor and respect, even when they fight against God. Because they are God's messengers, they are God's servants. And more than that, we are children of light. We are people about holding ourselves with Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that you are sovereign God. Even in the crazy world that we live in, even when we think the world is out of control, the rulers are out of control, the world is in chaos, even in danger awaits all of us, we know you are still sovereign. You still care for us. You still govern the governments, even though we don't see it. But we know the Word of God never fails. The Word of God challenges us to obey. Help us to obey. Give honor, give respect. Owe nothing to anyone except owe them love. In Jesus' name we pray.